Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is always good to be back to young folk as a whole, particularly back to here. I always feel, here is like home, and I always feel warmed here as you smiling at me, especially in this time of grieving. Your smile, your understanding, it's really give me a comfort. And thank you for Pastor Grace and your prayer support all along. Just by looking at the prayer items on the bulletins, I know for certain that you all are always remember us, while we are out there, serving the Lord in the mission fields in the UK. May I add two more prayer items for you to pray for? My mom's funeral, so already, the date's already set, will be on this coming Thursday. And we will, according to her will, our, funeral, my mom's funeral will be simple and it's a closed event just for, the closest family members. And really, by God's grace, my dad and the rest of the families appoint me, since they really acknowledge that, that I'm a pastor, God ordained, minister. That my dad said, of course, first you are the oldest son, and second you are the pastor. Of course, you're going to arrange the whole things, and just pray, it could be tough, you are doing your eulogy, for your own mom, beloved one. And especially my dad and my sisters. I'm the oldest son, and I have one brother and two sisters. And my brothers and his families are Christians, and then the rest are not. So how, like prepare the message, that can bring comfort as well as, giving them hope, and only hope in Christ, really. And I really thank God that, although I wish I can jump up here and telling you that, after all your prayers, my ma at her deathbed, that's finally she will, profess her faith to Christ, like confess that, seen a prayer, in front of us. But unfortunately, that was not the case. But it is funny that, at the very, very end of my mom's life, before I head to the China for the ministry trip, 2 weeks ago, I thank God that I stopped by Hong Kong for a day, so I can see my mother. I could see my mother the last time, and then we really have a meaningful exchange of conversation. And at the very, very beginning of the conversation, she told me that, son, can you pray for me, to the God the Father to just take me away. I'm so in agony, And indeed, when I talked to my brother, actually Peter, my brother's name's Peter, and he told me the same, actually at the very, very last moment, my mom asked my brother to ask Jesus to receive her. So as my wife Peggy said, we won't be surprised to see her in heaven. Although now we are not very certain, but we won't be surprised to see her there. So I guess I just put my trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that He certainly loving and righteous, holy, and trustworthy. So it just put our faith, our trust in Him, and what can we do, right? I mean, when you think about our life, all things, you planned it, but you can find out, change of life is quicker, than your plan. Just like, I plan, suppose I plan to come back, from China last Thursday, but end up because my mom passed away on Saturday, so I have to change the plan, take care. And, exactly last week, this Sunday, this time, I was on the flight, flying back, kind of a little bit upset that I could not see her the last time, last moment before she died. But then God reminded me that actually 5 hours before she passed away, my wife WhatsApped me, say that, you better video conference call her. you know, I think she's not, you know, doing all right. You know, you better, you know, do the video conference call. So actually, I did see her face through technology, you know, and really say the final word of love, you know, say, Mom, thank you for bringing me to this earth. Thank you for raising me up. And thank you, you know, for being a good mom. And just go to Jesus, you know, and make sure, you know, you follow Jesus, you know, don't go to another way, you know. So, yeah, so I guess, you know, and it's such a privilege that, you know, and coming back here, you know, and share God's word with you. And in the midst of all this, as we just sing praise that our God is a great God, although, you know, it's quite tough, you know, to sing praise in this, you know, especially when I was on the way to here. There's a panic attack, you know. It's just the cloud of sadness, you know, just cover me. But again, I remind myself, you know, we have God, you know, this Almighty God, who is our Lord, and who loved us so much that He sent His only and one Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. So I'm sure there's nothing will separate me, you know, from the love of God. So I hope today, this 1 Peter, you know, chapter 2, verses 9 to 12, will also really like remind us that, you know, we have a new identity in Christ, such that, you know, our life, you know, will be transformed, such that we can see that we have a new mission in life. And no matter, you know, what you are facing, what challenges in your life, remember, because we belong to Christ, we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ, and He's Almighty. He can keep us safe, and we just need to focus on Him and focus that the new identity that, you know, that put in us, and so that we have a mission here in life. Exactly, you know, there are so many people, unsaved people around us, whether it's afar from or nearby, you know, and there's a mission. We need to really call out the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, proclaim Him, you know, to the rest of the world. So today is our church mission Sundays. It is a new attempt for our mission department to begin with a mission Sunday, and it serves as a kickoff of our mission conference 2019 the next week, following week. As you know, we see the announcement that, you know, tomorrow, Wednesday and Friday, we do have a mission night. So just welcome, you know, to John. And indeed, all three topics are different, independent. So it will be good that you can join all of the conference nights, you know, because different message, but will really help us to transform our life, to see that we have a new identity in Christ and new mission in life. So, and this year, as you see that at the poster, the big poster inside the lifts, the theme of our mission conference is on God's chosen people for God's mission. So pray that, you know, today's message would lay down the foundation for the three missions next at the following week, as I just mentioned. Shall we just pray? Yeah, I think we need to pray. Yes, we need to pray before we go into today's passage. God, our Father, You desire all men and women to be saved and come to the knowledge of Your truth. Lord, send us, each of us, you know, each followers of Christ, as a workers to Your harvest, whether it's at our workplace, at home, or etc., afar or nearby, that the gospel may be preached to every creature. May Your people gather together today and get strengthened by the word of life, and advanced in the way of salvation and love. We ask all this through Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let me start with a story that I have found while I was preparing this sermon. This is a story about a rabbi, Akiva. A rabbi, Akiva. He was a very famous and revered Jewish rabbi of the first century. One late afternoon, Rabbi Akiva was on his way home. As he walked, he was also meditating and reciting the scriptures. He was so focused that he did not realize that he had taken a wrong turn. Suddenly, he found himself standing in front of the Roman fortress gate. And a loud voice shouted, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" Rabbi Akiva was startled and could barely respond. Again, the guard called out, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" After Rabbi Akiva gathered his thoughts, he shouted back, "How much do you get to ask me these questions?" Wow, yes. And the guard was now confused as to why this stranger would ask such a question in response. After a few moments of silence, the guard said, "2 dakma per week." A dakma was worth about a day's wage. There, a rabbi, Akiva, with an intense conviction, shouted back to the Roman guard, "I will pay you double if you stand outside my home and ask me those 2 questions every morning." Brothers and sisters, as a follower of Christ, do you know who you are and what's the purpose of your life? Is your life meaningful, or are you just drifting aimlessly? Just follow the world. Aimless drifting. Throughout the history of missions, God has used his word, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to call his church, you and me, to engage in his redemptive work around the world by praying, giving, going, and sending. In today's passage, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 12, the Apostle Peter reminds us our new identity in Christ. Through this missional identity, Peter urges us to renew our mission in life, to live out that identity in relation to an unbelieving world as God's holy people. Let us, open your bulletin and look at the scriptures today. Today's scripture again, verses 9 and 10. "But you are the chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." As a follower of Christ, followers of Christ, according to Peter, your first new missional identity is what? A chosen race, yes. A chosen people. And the Greek word chosen, and I really thank God for today's praise team, to choose that, a chosen, the theme song, chosen. Yes, exactly. The Greek word chosen, the meaning, one of the meanings is I pick out for myself. Apostle Paul even said before God made the world, God loved us and chose us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. God chose us purposely, not randomly. We are chosen one by God to live in the world to be like him. When we were reborn through the gospel, we were reborn into Christ to share completely in his life. And so, just as he is chosen, just as Jesus is chosen, so we are chosen in him. Just as Jesus is the living stone, we are living stones in him. These are immeasurable privileges. Yes, what a privilege that we are chosen by God to be in him. That recall me when my wife and I were met long, many, many years ago in the States. When we met, we seek God's guidance. We seek God's guidance independently. Ask God if the other is really the one, the chosen one. And to make the story short, You can ask me later, you know. Anyway, independently, we really see that, you know, we were meant for each other, you know, and really, you know, like chosen one by God. And so I wrote her an email and giving the evidence, you know, how, you know, by the word of God, by the circumstances, by the corporate, you know, affirmation from brother and sister, for the elders and pastors, and the peace of mind, you know, I told her, you are the chosen one. I'm not looking for a girlfriend. I'm looking for a lifetime partner. But you do have to count the cost. You know, I'm called to be the minister, not only the minister of, you know, church, but also I'm called to be a missionary. So that means that, you know, when God called me to go everywhere, I have to go. And that place could be no bed, no food, you know, or dirty or anything. And do count the cost, you know, as you are going to be, you know, a PhD, you know, of linguistics, so you're going to be a linguist, you can, you know, pursue another path of your career to be a professor, academic, you know, all the excellency. But if you do, you know, accept this, you know, offer, you know, do count the cost. So, you know, on the other side, when my wife Peggy received this email, she did kneel down and pray. And again, you know, went through the whole process, you know, Sam, you know, like the word of God, the, you know, circumstances, and the corporate affirmation from her pastors, brothers and sisters, and the peace of mind. And then, you know, exactly, consider that when I told her about the course to, for, you know, to be, you know, together, you know, to serve God together. Yes. She asked God, you know, yeah, could I really like handle, you know, like, you know, go into the remote place? She said that she need to prepare the words, right? You know, we never know, you know, God will call us to where or to serve home, you know, but who, you know? So she did kneel down and ask God's guidance, and funny, you know, God gave her the story of Virgin Mary. You know, when the angel, you know, told Virgin Mary about, you know, she was the chosen one, right? She's the chosen one to bear the Son of God. You know, Virgin Mary can say no. Do you know that? She could. But then, you know, she said that I'm here, you know, the servant of, you know, you, God. I just accept whatever you say, you know. And she then suddenly, she really feel with the Holy Spirit, feeling that, you know, it's such a privilege to be called into this, you know, ministry, doing ministry together with me, you know, together. It's such a privilege to be with the wife of missionaries. So, yes, just like that, you are the chosen people. You are the chosen by God purposely, you know, to live in Him. These are immeasurable privileges. But if you pay attention to the context of these verses, we will see how these honors are intimately attached to suffering. The chosen one, Christ Jesus, is a chosen lamb, and his chosen people are chosen exiles. The living stone is rejected. And so are his living stones, us. Christ died to bring us to God, and his royal priesthood will suffer in a cross-like form, ways, because he died on the cross for our sins. As his chosen people, when we are living in him, we need to prepare. We will also suffer like him. We have our own cross to bear. When you look at the rest of the letter, 1 Peter, you can see that Christians are accused of doing wrong. Chapter 2, verse 12. Suffering for doing good. Chapter 2, verse 20. Suffering for doing right. Chapter 3, verse 14. Spoken against maliciously for their good behavior. chapter 3, verse 17, and insulted for the name of Christ. Chapter 4, verse 14. Brothers and sisters, we always love the blessing from the Lord, right? We always pray for asking God's blessings. For the past 4 years, while the Lord's family, you know, serving over in the UK, reaching out the Chinese overseas students. As I said, I always love to coming back here. You know, here, Yang Fuk Church, the English congregation is like home to me. And whenever I come back and worship, you know, with such a beautiful sound systems, all the insulated, you know, walls, you know, and the sound is so great. I have a professional, this, you know, keyboards, all this band, and a professional praise team, all are under control, in control. There's a timer there, you know, timing, you know, everything is so controlled. And of course, then I have my iPad, you know, making sure that I almost keep in time, you know. And you know, it's difficult though, you know. But, you know, really for the past 4 years while I'm serving there, you know, it really, you know, there's no such things. Just imagine, you know, become all bare bone. You know, no, all this we move. There's no such boom, boom. And then we sing, how great is our God. You know, I don't know if you are able to have the uplifting spirit. Oh yeah, how great is our God, but without all this. Or how, just like now, I'm in the midst of grief. Really, I'm telling you, even with this, actually, it's really, I don't have that uplifting spirit to say how. But again, but it's not about the all these circumstances, all the, you know, it's important. I'm not saying not important, but I'm just saying that, you know, when we are called, you know, to be chosen, a chosen nation, and when we are saying that we are living in Christ, we are like a living stone in Christ, just like, you know, Christ, you know, even without all this, the bare bone, are we really, truly, truly, deep inside, we do know that our identity, we are the chosen one, with the high price paid by our Lord Jesus Christ. Such that even in the midst of grief, in the midst of challenges of your life, uncertainty of your life, uncertainty of a Hong Kong, or even like, you know, the Taiwan that, you know, legalized the homosexual marriage, all these, you know, all the noises, you know, with our Hong Kong legislation, you know, cancel all this. But do you really truly, truly praise our God? That really, how great is our God? He is in control, not you are in control. And really, all those 4 years of mission, what I really learned is a really, really humble experience on this journey of faith. I'm ordinary, I'm serious, I'm ordinary human being. Don't think I'm a missionary, I'm up there. No, no, no. I'm just like you all. We have all our own challenge in life. Family, you know, your work and all this. We are just ordinary. But the God that we trust is extraordinary. Do you know that? So we are the chosen one. We have this new identity. Not only that, Peter also reminds us that we are also a royal priesthood. You know, 1 Peter really relies heavily on the Old Testament. And the 1 Peter chapter 2 has clear references to Exodus 19. As one of the theologians, you know, Brandon Scarf, it's not a very famous one, but I really appreciate, you know, how he showed that, you know, like 1 Peter, you know, chapter 2 is like allude with, you know, Exodus 19. And let me, in his article, Identity and Mission in 1 Peter 2, let me do the direct quote from him. You know, I think he wrote it so nice, you know, that I think it will be weaken his points, you know, by paraphrasing it, you know. So I just do the direct quote. In Exodus 19, God gives Israel three image identities, treasured possession, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. Each is significant. God singles Israel out as his representatives, the separation of his chosen people from the general world population, the beginning of the outworking of his intention to bring close to himself a people that will join him for all eternity. As a kingdom of priests, Israel will be not a political entity of priests, but they will intercede between God and the nations for cosmic redemption. Priests stand between God and humans to help bring the humans closer to God and to help dispense God's truth to humans. This is Israel's task, mission. So with the same way as Israel was rescued from slavery for a special relationship and purpose by God, so the church, you and me, the being called out, was redeemed from sin, another out of slavery exodus for a purpose by God. As a royal priesthood names the people of Israel's mission, it names the church, the followers of Christ, the body of Christ. Yes, you know, the mission call to reach out the world to make disciples of all nations is not only the phenomena of the New Testament. Indeed, we know that since the beginning, since the fall of man, our God in three-in-one God already has determined to rescue the world through his son Jesus as a firstborn. And then he will call out his people who truly align with the will of God, who fully understand our new identity in Christ, which is nowadays is the church, you and me, to reach out the world and to make disciples of all nations without counting the cost, because God has already paid the highest cost, sending his only and one son Jesus, the Son of God, to incarnate into this world, come into our human history to show us how much he loved us, how much he determined to rescue his people. And it's such a privilege, as Cantonese say, lu fan ying. If you are English, sorry, but it's just a privilege, okay? But Cantonese is such, catch that essence of a privilege, lu fan ying. It's sweet. Have you ever thought that, you know, we always just, you know, say, you know, bless us, Lord, bless us with all this, this is. But have you ever thought that, you know, by reaching out the world, by making yourself all nations, it is another blessing from the Lord. We always think that, you know, that we'll sacrifice our time, our resources. We just want blessing from the Lord, but we don't want to give. But God determined us to be the royal priesthood. We are the mediator between God and humans and save people. God has determined through us. But who are we? You know, all those 4 years when I look back, really, I mean, I'm unable. Even though I really see God is at work among the Chinese children over in the UK, where we serve there, I can see God is at work. The ministry is thriving, you know, and it seems that, you know, like all the some of the major issues, like most of the church over there, when they outreach the Chinese students, they only can retain them like until Christmas. Like from September, there will be like hundreds coming in, flooding into the church. But then, you know, by the time of Christmas break, after Christmas, they all gone, you know. The retention rate is so low, and then okay, even the some stay at church, being disciples. When they went back home, when they go back home, return to China, they fall away. And according to the missionary, you know, from OMF, he did a research, 85%, you know, failing rate. Whoa, the resources, the efforts, all this, you know, putting into this ministry, but they end up is 85% gone. Or you know, only 3 months, they are all gone. But it's amazing. Last year, you know, God is at work. And then, you know, it just happened that this year, you know, the number of the students is not decreasing, you know, it's increasing. And I only say that, you know, God is at work. And of course, I mean, I think God called us, you know, to go there really to try to figure out, you know, the strategy, the discipleship materials, all are matter. You know, I'm not saying that you just go there, oh, pray and say, God, you are at work, you do the job, and you will, boom, you know. No. God also use us, the knowledge, the skill, all this, you know. But yes, God determined we are the ambassador of Christ through us, that we can be like him and reaching out the world and make disciples of all nations. Finally, the third identity is a holy nation. As a holy nation, Peter again connects back to the promise to Abraham that Israel will become a unified political entity with land and blessing. So as Peter applies the expression to his Christian readers, the tribe or nation that he has in mind is made up of Jews and Gentiles alike, but constitutes one people, one nation. They, like the people of Israel, were to be separate in purity from their neighbors. Holy, holy, holy. Finally, a people for his own possession. They were to be both set apart and ethically pure, primarily through holiness and obedience to the law. I have 5 minutes left. So let us turn into the meaning of this new identity in Christ. So what's the meaning? We are the chosen one. We are the royal priesthood. We are the, you know, holy nation, separate from the world. So how can we, you know, put into application, action, namely new mission in life? Indeed, actually, I already kind of give you, you know, this from the out, from the new identity. We are flowing out from this inside out, that certainly if you are really, I mean, if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit inside you really echo with the truth, the word of God, you already, the heart will be uplifting. You know, you already know that your life has to be transformed. You know that being a chosen one, being, you know, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, you already, you know, if you really, the Spirit, you know, who resided in your hearts, the Holy Spirit will echo the truth. It's already will give you that transformation. Definitely, you know there will be a new mission in life. Beloved, I urge you as a sojourner, exiles, to abstain from the passion of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Of course, we will change our life. Our lifestyle will be changed. There's a new lifestyle to embrace. As Israel was rescued from the slavery for a special relationship and purpose by God, so the church was redeemed from sin, as I said, and gathered out of slavery exodus for a purpose by God as a royal priesthood. Royal priesthood named, you know, the mission of the people of Israel the same way it names the church, with the themes of obedience, holiness, privilege, missions, self-identity under the good purposes of God. Obedience, holiness. Missions flows from identity. Yes, that's exactly the strategy that we use to outreach the Chinese students overseas. They are, most of them, they are 19 and 20 years old. There's no previous exposure to Christianity. No Christian friends, never read the Bible. So, you know, from our previous, you know, strategy to outreach them through the short-term mission team, we just go ahead and tell them about the whole gospel, explain to them. It's very foreign to them. They won't understand any single word you said. You know, even God, you need to spend a whole lot of time to explain the concept of God. So we decided that we will approach it first, the demonstration of the gospel. We will proclaim that we are Christian. Then you look what it means. Living out the gospel. Separation. When you face different issues, how we apply the principle of the Bible to tackle it. For example, this whole last long year, that's so eventful for the Locks family. With my mom's illness, all this, all the students that we serve know the whole thing. And they really see that, you know, one with in Christ, in the, those who, you know, like we believe in Jesus as a Christian, how we face this challenge of life. There's something that you can't change, you know. Life is not a video game, you know. It's not like you through the practice, you know, and then you raise up your performance, energy, and skill level, and then finally you face the boss and you beat the boss. No, life is not a video game. There's a boss that we never able to conquer, which is called death. But only Jesus, you know, he raised up to us to the next level that we can overcome death, because he already died for us and risen. So, obedience, holiness, your lifestyle to embrace. And finally, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visit us. Yes, when you at your workplace, at home, do your lifestyle. Does your lifestyle glorify God? Will your coworker will come to you and say, John, what's happening your weekend? You know, I have fun. You know, at weekend, you know, I had a lot of party. But now I have a Monday blue. I really feel upset. But why? You like, your face is like shining. What happened to you? What party do you go? Can you know, bring me to that party? And I tell them, street evangelism, hospital visitation, and church. And then I stop. Until my coworkers face some life issue, they know whom to sit for. And they call me Father Locke. No, exactly. If we just light them, you know, of course, no wonder. You know, no wonder. So, but please don't take me wrong. I don't mean Peter told his audience that proclaiming the gospel is wrong, okay? I'm just saying that there's a priority, you know, demonstration. Demonstration the word and that proclamation of the word. That you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So in opposite, Peter encouraged the audience as a follower of Christ, as a body of Christ, as a community of Christians, we need to proclaim the person of Christ Jesus and the work of Christ Jesus regardless of the situation. So when you really look at the context of the first Peter, you know, according to chapter 1, verse 1, you can see that Peter addresses the letter to five Roman provinces in Asia Minor. And we have a strong evidence to believe that indeed the gospel is really progressing, you know, strongly at that time. And of course, we receive a lot of opposition, suffering. But the Christian at that time continued to be in Christ, living out holiness, glorifying God's lifestyle, and proclaiming the word of God. So conclusion. Wow, thank God. 2 minutes overrun. The instructions that the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 12, to the churches of Asia Minor on how to faithfully display the gospel in a context of hostility and opposition are still found useful and remain true for Christians living on mission today. We as the chosen community of Christ's followers should continue to embody this new identity in Christ with new mission in life by embracing a new lifestyle and proclaiming an urgent message to the world until our King returns. God help us not to forget both of our missional identity in Christ and new mission in life. Therefore, before we begin each day, let us ask ourselves these two questions. Who are you, and what are you doing here?